Thank you very much, Mr. Higginson. It's good to be with you here tonight and to have fellowship and to renew acquaintances. And it's good to be able to come and share with you some thoughts that I've been having on this particular subject. Before we begin, we're going to read from God's Word. So we'll turn to the book of Romans chapter 1 and we'll read from the verse 16. Romans chapter 1, reading from the verse 16. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness. Because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God hath showed it unto them. For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools, and changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like to corruptible man, and to birds and four-footed beasts and creeping things. Wherefore God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lusts of their own hearts, to dishonour their own bodies between themselves, who changed the truth of God into a lie, and worshipped and served the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. For this cause God gave them up unto vile affections, for even their women did change the natural use into that which is against nature. And likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the women, burned in their lust one toward another, men with men working that which is unseemly, and receiving in themselves that recompense of their error which was meet. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind, to do those things which are not convenient, being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, without understanding, covenant breakers, without natural affection, implacable, unmerciful, who knowing the judgment of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them. Amen. And we know the Lord will add his own blessing to the reading of his word. Let's just pray. Father in heaven, as we come to you, we thank you for your word. We thank you that the word of God is applicable to every situation and circumstance that we face. There are principles of God's word that can guide us into all areas of life. And we thank thee for that. We thank thee for the relevance of thy word. We thank thee that the word of God is more up to date than tomorrow morning's newspaper. And we rejoice in that. And we pray that as we would consider the principles of your word and how they apply to the pop rock scene that exists today, we pray you would give us wisdom, that you would open our hearts to the truth of the scripture. And we pray that you would teach us. And so we commit our ways unto thee now. For Christ's sake, amen and amen. This book of Romans was written in order that Paul might teach the believers at Rome, but not just teach the believers at Rome, teach all of us that the gospel is the greatest message that ever was told. That's really what the book of Romans is all about. You can write one word over Paul's epistle to the church at Rome, and it is the word gospel. And you have your Bible open there at Romans 1, and in the verse 16, Paul said, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek." Paul wasn't ashamed of the gospel because there was sufficient power in the gospel to change all classes of people, all types of people, whether were the Jew or whether they were the Greek. The gospel was sufficient to transform lives. And that really was how Paul began writing to the Romans. And then he started to talk about why the world needs the gospel. Why was the gospel an important message then? And why is it a vital message today? Why does the world need the gospel? And then Paul, in order to explain how the world needs the gospel, why the world needs the gospel, he takes us through the gutters, the dregs of society. And that really is what Romans chapter 1, from this stage forward, is all about. Paul paints a dark, grim picture of humanity. We're going to think about this subject of pop music tonight. It's not a pretty subject. It's not a nice subject. If you're a Christian, you'll not go away from here tonight and say, "Oh, that really blessed my heart. I feel good after hearing that." You'll not feel good, because we're dealing with something that is very, very wicked. We're dealing with something that has had a catastrophic influence upon youth culture. Certainly since World War II, nothing has had an influence upon young people quite like the rock pop scene has had. And the impact has been devastating. And I am not exaggerating that in the slightest. As we will see, even secular people, secular sociologists, have also come up with the view pop rock scene has been destructive. There is evidence that will show that the huge spates of teenage suicides that have taken place in the Western world, some of it is attributed to the pop rock scene. Certainly, there are other aspects of teenage culture that is destructive as well. But at the heart of it all, you have the kind of music that they listen to, the kind of lyrics they listen to, the kind of performers that they idolize. And then you look at how their lives have gone, some of them, and it's a picture of tragedy. It's a picture of darkness. And if you're here tonight, and if you're a Christian, you know, we need to open our eyes. We need to open our eyes to what's going on around us. We need to open our eyes to what is influencing young people, what is destroying their lives. We need to have a vision. You know, Paul was a man with a vision. He wrote Romans chapter 1, and he talked about things that really were awful to talk about. He talked about dreadful scenes here, dreadful things. In the verses 29 through to 31, he produces a list, a horrific list. And this was a picture of the world that Paul lived in. He talked there about fornication, not sexual immorality. He talks about murder. He talks about deceit. He talks about people who hate God. He talks about people who are inventors of evil things. It goes on and on and on and on. And that's a picture of the world in which we live in. Things haven't changed. Man, you know, might be modernized. He can use computers now, and we have all this projection equipment. The Apostle Paul didn't have any of that. People in Paul's day didn't fly about in aeroplanes, but the heart of man is just the same as it was then. The world is still a very wicked place. More wicked, for the Bible says men will wax worse and worse. And that's why the world needs the gospel. That's why young people need the gospel, because they're sinners. And really what the pop rock scene shows us, it shows us what is going on in the hearts of people. Because what we're going to look at tonight highlights how the kind of music that people listen to, it is a reflection of their heart. And not only that, but what they listen to molds and shapes their hearts and spirits as well. Maybe you're here tonight and you like your music. You like listening to different kinds of music and you really don't want to be challenged. Maybe you don't really feel like being here. Well, maybe you're a professing Christian and you're listening to pop music and you're thinking, "Oh, it's kind of harmless. Not doing me much harm. I like listening to this, this, this. I like this performer and that performer. There's a song there. I really enjoy it. It'll do me no harm." And you say you're a Christian. Well, I pray that tonight God's word will put its finger upon this sin that's in your life. Because it is a sin. It'll not do you any good. And that God will speak to you. And if you're not a Christian and you're listening to pop rock music, it's destroying your soul. Yes, we know that. And I hope that you see that. But the first thing you need is Jesus Christ, and then he will give you the grace to repent of all these things that are destroying you. So do think about these things as we begin. Music is a very subtle as well as being a very powerful force. We have here the little image of the iPod, and with the creation of the iPod, MP3, young people can have access to thousands of tunes and thousands of songs. They can have it on their mobile phone, have it on their MP3 player, have it on their iPod. They can listen, not only, they can listen when they're walking down the street, they can listen in all kinds of situations, all kinds of circumstances, and people don't really know what they're listening to. It's all kind of private. It's all there in their little player. And all those files is what they want to listen to. On those files is what they enjoy. And of course, that makes it difficult, in a sense, for parents to help their young people. And as parents, we do care about our young people. We want to see them guided right. And I would suggest to parents here, if your kids, and they're still at an age where you have control over them, they haven't attained the years of majority, father, you're still the head of your house, you make it your business to know what's in their iPod or their MP3 player. You make it your business to see what's there in order that you might guide them, in order that you might teach them. Don't just ignore it, because there could be something going on there that you're not aware of, but yet it's destroying them and it's taking them to hell. And so you need to know what's happening. I remember years ago a speaker saying to parents, you know, look and see what's hidden under the bed in terms of CDs or whatever. It's not like that now. Thousands of songs and a little thing smaller than a matchbox, and yet there's a destructiveness there. So we're going to think about this subject, pop music, and the title is it harmless entertainment or is it an evil influence? If it's simply entertainment and it's harmless, then there's nothing for us to worry about. But if it is an evil influence, then that's something that we need to think about. So for one moment, I want you to adopt an open mind. We're asking the question, harmless entertainment or evil influence? You may say it's a harmless entertainment, but just open your mind to the possibility. Just open your mind to the possibility that this might just be an evil influence. So that's my challenge to you now, at the very beginning, before we move on. Now we know that music comes in various forms, all types of forms of music, and you see them listed there. Is it a simple matter of taste, age, or generation? Older people like a certain type of music. Maybe people that are a wee bit more educated or think they're more educated like listening to classical music. But I like a different type of music. I'm slightly different. I'm more earthy. I have a different kind of taste. And so is it just a matter of how old you are? Just a matter of what your taste is? Is it a matter of your social background? Or does God have anything to say to us on the matter of music? Is the Bible a relevant book where this subject is concerned? And that has to be the all-important question. It's not so much what I say that counts, it's what the Bible says. And so we have to draw some principles from the Word of God to teach us in relation to this matter. Now, where the Scriptures are concerned, there is one question. One question that must be asked and needs to be answered. Is music neutral? Now, I want to explain what I mean by that. There are some people who say that music is a neutral influence. It is neither a bad influence nor a good influence. It's just an art form. It doesn't influences for evil and it doesn't influence us for good. It's just there to be enjoyed. Is that true? Is music a neutral force? Or does music have an impact on us? Can it have an impact for good or can it have an impact for evil? If music has an impact for good or an impact for evil, it's not neutral. If music has no impact, zero impact upon us, then it's neutral. This is a very important question. And to answer this question, we must first of all get back to the beginning and consider what music is. Music is the gift of God to mankind. God created music for our good and for His glory. If God did give this gift, then music cannot be neutral. God must have given it for good. And if music is good, then it's not neutral. The Psalms were sung to musical accompaniment. And over in the book of Psalms, you read the Psalms and you read various instruments referred to. And God was glorified. He was praised through that. In fact, the natural creation is described as being something that is musical. Turn with me there in your scriptures over to the Psalm 96. Psalm 96, the verses 11 and 12. Let the heavens rejoice and let the earth be glad. Let the sea roar and the fullness thereof. Let the field be joyful and all that is therein. Then shall all the trees of the wood rejoice. And there you have the various aspects of the creation, whether it be the trees, whether it be the field, whether it be the heavens or the earth or the sea. And they're all coming together like a fantastic symphony orchestra, and they're all being described in musical terms. You have the same idea over there in the Psalm 98 and the verse 8. Let the floods clap their hands, let the hills be joyful together. So God obviously sees something that is very good in music, or He would not be using music to describe the world and the universe that He has formed. But let's go back further still to the very beginning and to the first mention of music in the scriptures. So we're going back in the Bible now to the book of Genesis chapter 4. Genesis chapter 4 and the verse 21, where we read of a man called Jubal, and he was the father of all such as handle the harp and organ. Here we have the first human society. A city was erected. There was a man here in this passage who trained cattle, domesticated beasts. There was somebody else who was very skilled at working with metal. We see the industry beginning, and we also see entertainment beginning. And this particular man, Jubal, he was the father of all such as handled the harp and organ. So at the very beginnings of human order, human society, we have industry, we have agriculture, and we have entertainment as well. Now, man had this desire for music from the very beginning. Why did he have this desire for music? Because God gave him that desire. God gave him that gift. You see, man is not just a beast like the dog or the cat or the cow or any other animal. There's a spiritual dimension to man, and music fulfills some of man's spiritual needs. Now, it is true that we all have various gifts in relation to music. Some are more gifted than others. Some can appreciate music more than others. But music does supply a need. God has given us music for that purpose. It is an art form, and it is something that can be of great blessing to all of us. So therefore, we must draw the conclusion based on that, that if music was intended by God to be good, it was never intended to be neutral. Music cannot be neutral. It was intended to be good, intended to be a blessing for us. Now, here's something else we need to consider. Should we expect the devil to turn God's gift of music into something that is bad for men and for women? Can we expect Satan to do that? So God has given the gift here, a gift of music. It's good. It's for us. It's for us to enjoy. Can the devil then come and distort that gift, twist that gift, so that it becomes bad? Is he capable of doing that? Well, he is. The devil does it all the time. It's the way that he works. Instead of Christ, he produces Antichrist. Instead of salvation by faith, he produces salvation by works. Instead of creation, he produces evolution. Instead of marriage, he produces immorality and homosexuality. Instead of beautiful, wholesome art, he produces immoral and degraded art. It is inevitable, therefore, that instead of godly music, he will produce ungodly music that will have terrible consequences. Is that not a logical thing to deduce? That there is such a thing as the devil's music? If God has his music, then the devil's going to have his music. If God has his way of salvation, the devil has his counterfeit way of salvation. That's the way the devil works. He tries to ruin everything that God produces. That's his policy. That's his strategy. So therefore, there has to be such a thing as the devil's music. There has to be such a thing as a form of music that instead of being good for us, is bad for us. Because everything that God does is for our good, and everything the devil produces will be for our bad. Remember, music is not neutral. So if the devil has his music, it's going to be destructive. And I'm going to bring before you now five key proofs that modern pop music is of the devil. So let's just look at these proofs one by one. The first proof, and we're going to take a few slides for this, the history of the modern pop phenomenon. There's been a lot of research done into all this, and I'm not going to give you all the intricacies of this research tonight because we haven't got time. There's a lot of research to suggest that the rock pop culture began way back in the African jungles, the heavy beats of voodoo music. African slaves brought it from Africa, they brought it to their plantations, and they developed that music. It became the blues music of the 1930s and 40s. Predominantly, that style of music was sung by black artists. Their songs were filled with immorality and violence. And then, out of that came the Elvis Presley era and rock and roll. I know this is a young people's rally tonight, but I see a few people here who can remember Elvis Presley. Well, we'll say no more about that. Elvis Presley, very, very intriguing character and personality. He was a person who would have known the gospel. Brought up in the Bible Belt, would have known gospel songs. In a sense, he grew to love gospel songs. And some Christians, they think, oh, Elvis Presley couldn't have been that bad. Look at the way he can sing Amazing Grace. And it is true. The man had a tremendous talent. There's even some who claim that Elvis Presley made a profession of faith in Christ when he was a young man. But yet his life didn't really live that out. Although some say he came to the Lord before he died, and let's pray that he did. The reality about Elvis Presley was this. He lived a terribly wicked life. He was immoral. He abused his body with drugs. And that hastened his end. And his life had a destructive impact upon millions of young people who idolized him and set him up as a god. And that really is what the rock pop phenomenon has done. It has made gods out of these kinds of people. Here's another group that also heavily influenced the scene and brought music to where it is today. The Beatles. Perhaps they have been even more influential than Elvis Presley. The most successful group in history, 170 million albums sold. They were part of a music, cultural, and social revolution. The four boys from Liverpool. Now, here's a quote from John Lennon. You know, the Beatles, they weren't just about music. They were into Eastern religion. They were into the occult. They integrated that into their songs. John Lennon famously said, "Christianity will go. It will vanish and shrink. I needn't argue about that. I'm right and will be proved right. We're more popular than Jesus now." What a terrible, blasphemous statement. We can see where he was coming from. Well, John Lennon has come and John Lennon has gone, and thank God, Jesus Christ is still marching on and will be until the end of time and beyond into eternity, when the Beatles and all of their fellow travellers will have gone forever. Thank God John Lennon was wrong. Now, here's something concerning the Beatles and the occult which is very, very interesting and very revealing as well. This is the cover of one of their albums. And on this particular cover, there are pictures of a lot of famous faces throughout history. Paul McCartney said, and don't be bluffed into thinking that Paul McCartney is some kind of nice guy, that the clean image of the Beatles, that's the way he likes to portray himself. What did he say about this? "We were going to have photos on the wall of all our heroes." And then, just below where the arrow is, you have this very handsome fellow in the bald head. That's Aleister Crowley. He was known as the father of modern Satanism. He liked to be called by the name the Beast, 666. He fled to America. In America, the popular press at the time, they said that he is the most wicked man in the world. Many people to the present day suspect that Aleister Crowley was involved in sacrificing children. Live sacrifices to the devil. A horrifically wicked individual indeed. The Beatles obviously idolized. He was one of their heroes. And one of the reasons why he was one of their heroes is because all of Aleister Crowley said, "Whatever way you want to live, that's the way you live. Whatever feels good, you go for it." And as we will see, even through the lyrics of pop songs that are in the charts today, that's the message young people are being bombarded with. If it feels good, go for it. If you want it, take it. Live it to the full. Live fast and loose. That was the message of the arch-Satanist. And that was the influence of the Beatles. Some more proofs, not just the history of rock pop phenomenon, the influences, would certainly indicate that it's the devil's music. There are the lyrics. Now, in a few moments, I'm going to show you and talk about some of the lyrics of popular songs today. I can't show you all the lyrics because I have looked at lyrics that young people are listening to. You couldn't repeat the language. Full of curse words. In fact, singers seem to be able to sing what no one would dare say. If you were to turn on the radio and you were to hear expletives and curse words, there would be huge uproar. People would be complaining, and the Press Complaints Commission would be saying you can't use that sort of language, and yet singers can sing that kind of language. Sing stuff that people couldn't say, and they get away with it. That indicates the power of this medium. We also have the music itself. Remember, music is not neutral. And there is evidence to suggest that, for the most part, pop music, it goes against the natural rhythm of the human body. It doesn't soothe the human body. Remember, music was intended to be good. But this type of music, it hypes people up. It can whip young people into a frenzy. It can be hypnotic. And it can be destructive. Let's think about the performers. Many of them, well, they make no pretense about it. They're anti-God. They have a catalogue of drugs and drink problems. They live immoral lifestyles. They're given iconic status by millions of young people. They are the gods and goddesses of 21st century culture. We don't have gods of wood and stone in our society today, but we have these celebrities, and people love to read about them, want to know what they're up to. So many young women, they want to dress like they're stars. They idolize them. They build them up. Young men want to live the way the young pop stars live. And then there's this final point here, which is very, very disturbing. An alarming number of rock pop stars die young. Some research has been done. I don't know how scientific it is, but yet when you read the papers and keep abreast of what's happening, you must say there's something in it. The average age of a pop star is said to be somewhere in the region of 36.9 years. It's true. A lot of them over the years have died young because of a reckless lifestyle. Could we say that the kind of music they're playing, the kind of stuff they're singing, the influence that's having upon them is actually bringing their lives short and is taking them to hell as well at super fast speed? And if it's doing that for the performers, it's also to some extent doing that for those who listen. Subliminals. Subliminals is a very important aspect of pop music today. Now, what is this? Flashing words and pictures on a screen so that you're not aware consciously that they're there. There's a famous case a number of years ago in a cinema where the people were watching a movie and there was an advertisement flashed up really quick of certain brand of food. I can't remember what it is, certain brand of food that was being sold, and the audience latched onto this and sales rocketed of whatever it was has been flashed up on the screen during the interval, and people were rushing to get the refreshments, all based on what had been flashed up, and yet no one could say that they had seen it. Whether it was a certain brand of drink or whatever, they couldn't actually say that they had seen that picture. It came so fast into the screen. And you know what troubles me, that whenever you think of television, and you know we do watch television, we have televisions in our home, and it's possible for pictures to be beamed into your house and very fast images to be thrown up, and you don't actually know what you've seen, and yet your mind can read it. Forward masking, burying quietly spoken words into the music and into the lyrics, and if you slow the whole thing down, if you slow the music down, you can hear words. Just by slowing it down, you can hear words. A message is being filtered into the mind. But the most common form of subliminal is backward masking. Backward masking is where a message is in the song when you play it backwards. And the message is hidden, you reverse it, and suddenly you can hear words whenever it goes backwards. Now, you might say, why do they do this? Why bury messages into songs? And it's one of the features of the pop industry. This is what they do. And they do it all the time. There is a website, you can search it out for yourself. It has done an amazing amount of research into songs. Many songs, hundreds of songs, messages that are buried in the songs when you play it backwards, or messages that are buried in the song when you slow it down. And you might say, why do they do that? Why do they do it? Well, it's a feature of the industry, and there must be a reason. There must be something productive from it, that they will hide these messages constantly. Here are some examples of this type of technique. Well, it has been practiced by the Beatles. They did it all the time. Led Zeppelin, Queen, Black Sabbath, others. Ozzy Osbourne, I'm sure you've heard of that guy in the news. He's not quite so big now, I suppose, in the music scene, but yet he was famous for his satanic lyrics. But it's not just the bands that would have been in the fringe, the heavy metal bands, so on and so forth, that practiced this. For example, here's Britney Spears. And a very well-known artist, very popular with young people. One of her later hits, Baby One More Time, becomes Sleep With Me, I'm Not Too Young. And whenever you play it backwards, that's what you get. And there's Eminem as well, the popular rap star. And again, he has got lyrics buried into his songs whenever you play it all backwards. Now, why do they do this? Let's ask the question today. It happens all the time. Experts in the field reckon there are thousands and thousands of songs that have been backward masked and has not even been picked up yet. It is done to relay an occult or even a drugs-related message to an unsuspecting audience. And it has been proven that the brain picks up these signals even though the individual is not logically aware of it. So the brain is able to deduct and decode the signal, and that affects the lifestyle of the person who listens to some degree, even though he or she is not aware of it. Now, it's a very dangerous thing that we could be actually exposing yourself. You could be exposing yourself to this kind of rubbish, to drug messages, to satanic messages, to immoral messages, and yet, consciously, you don't know you're getting it. So now we come to the second conclusion, and we've looked at some of the proofs as to why I think, based on God's word, the rock pop scene is of the devil. And we're going to look at this conclusion now. If music is not neutral, and I'm sure you've come to the conclusion, yes, music cannot be neutral. It's either good or it's either bad. If the modern pop scene is not of God, and I'm sure you agree it can't be of God, God didn't form or fashion the modern pop scene with all of the evil that comes from it, then it must be of the devil. And if it is of the devil, then it's going to have a catastrophic influence upon young people. Evil influence. Here's someone who should know a lot about rock music. He's not a preacher, he's not a minister, he's far from it. David Bowie, someone who's been involved in the rock scene for many, many years, he said way back in the early 1970s, rock has always been the devil's music. You can't convince me that it isn't. I honestly believe everything that I've said. I believe that rock and roll is dangerous. Interesting. Jerry Lee Lewis, someone who's heavily involved in the rock and roll era. He said, I am sorry that I was involved in the beginnings of rock and roll. I never dreamed that it would take the course that it has taken. It has helped destroy untold millions of young people the world over. And here's a man who isn't a Christian. He's a sociologist, William Schaefer. What is undeniable about rock is its hypnotic power. It has gripped millions of young people around the world and transformed their lives. A huge social influence. Let's ask some questions before we go on to look at some of the songs of today. Should a Christian expose himself to words that glorify sin? Should a Christian idolize performers whose lives are wicked? Should a Christian listen to words that have a satanic origin? Should a Christian risk being exposed to secret satanic messages? No, no, no. No, again. Who's going to argue with that? Now let's look at what's going on in the pop scene today. And I've done this presentation several times now, and every time you kind of need to go back and look at what's happening now and look at some of the top songs and the top stars now, because you're ever aware, yes, there are the principles that we have to deal with, and we've dealt with the principles, but yet they're young people, they are listening to certain kinds of music, they're listening to certain songs, and we can't cover everything because everyone has different tastes. But we're going to look at some of the most popular songs of today. I'm going to bring it right up to date and look at what people are listening to, look at what people are singing, and look at some of these so-called stars. Now, here's a very tragic story. Amy Winehouse, young woman, just in her late 20s. Sad life, wasn't it? In trouble with the law, history of violence, one broken relationship after another broken relationship. Yet, by all accounts, extremely talented, a musician. She had piles of money, more money than anyone could possibly want. Yet her life was being ruined by drugs. And sadly, she passed away. Now, whenever you think of the tragic life of Amy Winehouse, there's something that fascinates me with the pop music industry. When somebody dies, they suddenly make that person a bigger hero than they ever were before. Why? Because, well, the music industry wants to make money out of them when they die, and so they release some of her songs, and this was one of them. It says a lot about her life, and it says a lot about the life of some of these stars. Back to Black. I love you so much, it's not enough. You love blow and I love puff. And life is like a pipe, and I'm a tiny penny rolling up the walls inside. We only said goodbye with words. I died 100 times. You go back to her, and I go back to. We only said goodbye with words. I died 100 times. You go back to her, and I go back to. Black, 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 black. When you think of how she died, the darkness, the hopelessness of that young woman, all alone. She didn't have much, did she? John chapter 1 and the verse 4, concerning Christ, in him was life, and the life was the light of men. You see, the pop scene offers nothing but darkness and sin. Christ, on the other hand, tonight offers you life and light. And you'll never find it in this rubbish. Last week's number one, I suppose this might change now. I'm not totally up to date with things, but as far as I know, the X Factor's coming to an end tonight, and who knows, the winner of the X Factor may end up being number one this week. But last week's number one, according to the Radio 1 listings, was a song by the X Factor finalists singing Wishing on a Star. I'm wishing on a star to follow where you are. I'm wishing on a dream to follow what it means. I'm wishing on a dream to follow what it means. And I wish on all the rainbows that I see. I wish on all the people who really dream. And I'm wishing on tomorrow, praying never comes. And I'm wishing on all the loving we've never done so far away from home. That's what many young people are living for today. That's what many people are living for. A kind of a pipe dream. Wishing for the star. Wishing for happiness. Wishing for love just around the corner. Wishing that our dreams might come true. And does it ever happen? Many of the things you wish for, they're just like mirages in the desert that will fade away. And yet so many of these songs, they ask people to live for that dream. And that dream is something that just disappears like the mist in the morning. What does Christ, however, offer us? Hebrews 6 verse 19 talks about Christ being the anchor of the soul. The world offers you nothing. Christ offers you an anchor, something solid, something that you can build your life with, something eternal in value. That's what Christ's offering you. The wishing on the star mentality offers you emptiness. Last week's number two, this guy called Ollie Murs, dance with me tonight. My name is Ollie, nice to meet you. Can I tell you, baby, look around, there's a whole pretty ladies, but not like you, you shine so bright. Yeah. And the song just goes on. He's obviously in the dance floor. He sees a girl he likes, a girl he's attracted to. He wants to dance with her. And that really is what he's living for. And in many respects, a lot of young people, as they go out on the Saturday night and forever, they can kind of latch on to this because this is what they want. They want to meet somebody. They want to get into a relationship. And sadly, for many of them, it just ends in a kind of an immoral relationship that offers them zero satisfaction. Turn with me, please, in your scriptures over to 2 Timothy chapter 2 and the verse 22. What does the Bible offer us? You see, remember, listening to this kind of music, listening to these kinds of lyrics, listening to these kinds of songs, it's preaching a message into your soul, into your subconsciousness. And in this case, it's preaching an immoral message that influences people. 2 Timothy 2:22, flee also youthful lusts, but follow righteousness, faith, charity, peace with them that call on the Lord out of a pure heart. The lusts of this world, just gratifying the flesh, some kind of short-term excitement, that needs to be fled from, because there's something better for you found in the principles of God's word, and you'll not find it in the kind of music that we discover today. Young woman called Rihanna, very immodest young lady. We found love. Yellow diamonds in the night. Now we're standing side by side as your shadow crosses mine. What it takes to come alive. It's the way I'm feeling. I just can't deny. We found love in a hopeless place. So she's looking for love. She thinks she's found love, but she finds it kind of in the darkness, in a hopeless place. There's something dissatisfying about it. Look, please, at James chapter 3 and the verse 15. The wisdom that is not from above. So this is the wisdom that comes from beneath, the wisdom of hell. And it's not wisdom at all. It's foolishness. It's earthly. It's sensual. It's devilish. You see, remember Aleister Crowley? You go for what you want. You go for what you feels good, for what feels good. That's what sensual is. That's what so many people are living for today. They want what feels good. But this kind of attitude of just getting what is pleasurable to the flesh, it's actually devilish. It's earthly. It's destructive. Jesse J, who you are. I find this quite interesting. It's as if this young lady is fighting with herself. I stare at my reflection in the mirror. Why am I doing this to myself, losing my life on a tiny error? I nearly left the real me on the shelf. No, no, no. Don't lose who you are in the blur of the stars. Seeing is deceiving. Dreaming is believing. It's okay not to be okay. Sometimes it's hard to follow your heart. Tears don't mean you're losing. Everybody's bruising. Just be true to who you are. So she's become famous. She's thinking she's leaving her roots behind, and she wants to be true to who she is, and yet she's feeling she's becoming someone that she is not. She's being molded, she's being shaped. Perhaps I'm reading too much into it, but I can see all of that in it. And I'm reminded of what Solomon said about vanity. The things of this life are vanity. Vanity, vanity, all is vanity. And there is a vanity in these stars that filters into young people, how they dress, how they want to appear. Wanting to be somebody they are not. And perhaps you're a bit like that. You're trying to be somebody you are not. You're trying to be like some of these people who are your heroes or your heroines. And yet they really are quite miserable and very unhappy. You know, Romans chapter 3 verse 23 tells us who we really are. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. If you want to be happy, it's the first thing that you need to discover. Alexandra Burke. I want to include this slide because whenever I started looking at this in a lot more depth than I'd ever looked before, about a couple of years ago, this was an artist, and in particular one of her songs said more to me about the modern pop music industry than any other. She won the X Factor. The song Hallelujah holds the European record for the most sales in a 24-hour period. She's the only female British artist to sell 1 million singles. Very, very successful. With this song, Hallelujah. On the left-hand side, these are some words from the song. Well, your faith was strong, but you needed proof. You saw her bathing on the roof. Her beauty and the moonlight overthrew you. She tied you to your kitchen chair. She broke your throne and she cut your hair. And from your lips she drew the hallelujah. She's talking about King David. She's talking about King David committing adultery with Bathsheba. And as they were committing adultery, King David was saying, Hallelujah. Now that is blasphemy in the extreme. 1 million singles sold with this terrible, blasphemous message. Why is this so blasphemous? Why is this so dangerous? It takes the Lord's name in vain. The word hallelujah, it means praise Jehovah. King David was not saying praise Jehovah when he committed that horrible sin. In fact, he was brought to the depths of despair as a result of that sin. He came weeping and mourning to God. He lost a little baby. That baby was taken away in judgment because of that sin. Over the years following, he lost two of his sons. One murdered by the other, and then the other killed in battle, all as a consequence of that sin. David's home was never the same again. His throne was never the same again. He lost respect amongst his people. He was never the same man. He was a godly leader who failed. His sin was not a glamorous thing. It was nothing to be happy about. You see, the pop rock industry wants to glamorize sin. God's word doesn't glamorize sin. God's word tells us about David's sin because God's word is a real book. It's an earthly book in a sense. Yes, it's a heavenly book, but it's earthly in that it shows us things the way they really are. Doesn't gloss over anything. That's why the Bible is such a wonderful book. But David's sin was a terrible thing, a shameful thing. It warns us concerning the evils of such a lifestyle. This song mocks a holy God. It mocks the holiness of God. It contravenes the third commandment. It takes the name of the Lord in vain. It contravenes the seventh commandment. Thou shalt not commit adultery. There's a terrible list of sins against the holy God in that one song that was so popular. Lady Gaga. The MTV Awards came to Belfast recently, and well, there was so much talk about it. Good for Belfast. Bring the people in. Put Belfast on the world stage. I want to tell you something. If MTV brings millions and millions and billions of pounds of tourist revenue to this country, what will be the price? These stars and the lifestyle that they adopt and the message they preach is destructive. It's taking people to hell. It's taking themselves to hell. And I tell you, for our country to host such an event brings about the displeasure of a holy God, regardless of the money that it brings in. And we should open our eyes to that, the dangers of it. Now, here's a woman you can see by the picture. She might as well appear as the devil's wife. Outrageous in her dress and in her performances. Born this way. Look at these lyrics. Don't be a drag, just be a queen. Whether you're broke or evergreen, you're black, white, beige, cola descent, you're Lebanese, you're Orient, whether life's disabilities left you outcast, bullied or teased, rejoice and love yourself today, because baby, you were born this way. No matter gay, straight or bi, lesbian, transgendered life, I was born to survive. In other words, it doesn't matter whether you're homosexual or heterosexual or bisexual or what you are, you live the way you want because you were born this way. What utter immoral rubbish and trash this is. Turn with me, please, to 1 Corinthians chapter 6. Verse 9. Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall enter and inherit the kingdom of God. No, it's not right to live whatever way you want to live. This is a wrong message. It's a lie from hell. Because people who adopt a lifestyle that's contrary to the word of God, they won't get into heaven. That's what the Bible says. That's not the message that comes from this music that we have already styled the devil's music. Look also at Ephesians chapter 5 and the verse 11. And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. So Christian, if you're involved in any of this, get out of it. Delete those files on your MP3 player and your mobile phone. Get rid of them. Get them off your iTunes. The unfruitful works of darkness. Snow Patrol. We include Snow Patrol because they're quite popular in Northern Ireland. There's a Northern Ireland connection with Snow Patrol. 2 years running, I think they've crowded Ward Park out in Bangor with 15,000 people. The night the MTV Awards came to Belfast, thousands of people stood around the front of Belfast City Hall to listen to them playing. This is their latest album, Fallen Empires. Raising cities to dust, faces dripping in lust, fallen empires and raging bushfires, all your words confounded, secret lives bound and hid, living backwards in a tangled backwoods. You ruined everything right, so good I can't see the light. From my cave I can see the way of fallen empires and raging bushfires. We are the light, we are the light. run to the fire. Like some of their other songs that I've looked at, it doesn't seem to mean very much, but yet there's a kind of a twisted ethics there, isn't there? Going backwards, we can't see the light, and yet we are the light and running to the fire. There's a lot of drivel there. It's all very disjointed, but it's certainly not wholesome. It's quite disturbing, to say the least. And what did Christ come to give us? John 10, verse 10. I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. This is not life. Thank God Christ is life. Some principles I want to leave with you before we finish. And I want to read these passages through very quickly. Pop music and the Christian. In the first place, we have the separation principle in the book of 1 John chapter 2, verses 15 to 16. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh and the lust of eyes and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world passeth away and the lust thereof, but he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. You see, the rock pop culture is very much a very important part of the spirit of the world. God says you're to love not the world. You're to get away from it. You're to separate yourself from it. Have nothing to do with it. And then we have the holiness principle as well. 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 15 through to 16. Words that are deeply challenging to the people of God. But as he which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation, because it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy. And there's nothing holy about this kind of music. God says to you, dear believer, if you're a young person and you're a Christian, there's nothing holy about it. If you want to be holy, you have to separate yourself from this kind of music. And then we have the mind principle, Philippians chapter 4 and the verse 8. Philippians chapter 4 and the verse 8. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. So God wants us to fill our minds with things that are good. So we need to be listening to good music, music that will sanctify us, music that will bring us near to God. We need to be reading books. You know, what we have said, it applies to music as well. It also applies to books. You know, there are a lot of terrible novels, terrible books that are sinful, destructive. There are newspapers a Christian should not be reading. There are pictures you shouldn't be looking at. There are films you should not be touching with a barge pole. You know, there is so much in life that will fill our minds with that which is evil. And God wants us to fill our minds with good literature, good works, good words. He wants us to study the scriptures. He wants us to talk about the things of God. He wants us to feed our minds with things that are good with our minds, not with things that are evil. One final verse, and then I'm through. Jesus said, take heed what you hear. What are you hearing tonight? What are you listening to? Are you listening to this music? Take heed. What's it doing for you? It'll destroy you. That's why you need to look to the Lord and follow the principles of the Word of God. Mr. Higginson.
We thank our brother for bringing that message on pop music. A lot of things I didn't know. And certainly we've been challenged tonight about a lot of things that are very prevalent in society. I know that our brother will be here for a while if you want to speak to him. If you have any questions, I'm sure he'll be willing to speak to you and answer any questions you might have. But we'll give thanks for the food and don't be in any rush away, but let's just seek the Lord together. Heavenly Father, we thank thee tonight for the privilege again of casting ourselves at thy feet. We bless thee, Father God, for the freedom and for the liberty that there's found in the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank thee that the psalmist could say that he put a new song in my mouth, even praise unto our God, many shall hear it. And we thank thee, O God, tonight for the song of the soul set free. We pray, Lord, tonight that every head that's bowed in thy presence might be able, O God, to praise the Lord for all the things that thou hast done for us. Deliver us, O God, from those things that would hinder us from following on to know the Lord. And Lord God, set us free, we pray. We just ask, O God, tonight that thou wilt write these truths upon our hearts. Help us to be sober and to be vigilant. And Lord God, to keep our eyes fixed upon the Saviour. And Lord, to focus our minds and our hearts and our affections upon those things that would glorify thee. So accept of our thanks for the good things provided. Bless, Lord, the hands that have prepared it. And help us to eat and drink to thy glory. Give us journeying mercies as we travel home later on, we ask in the Saviour's name. Amen. Amen.